You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, SFU's community radio station broadcasting live from Burnaby, BC.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
I think you have to rehabilitate Christian nationalism. You have the largest deportation in history. Block funding for Planned Parenthood. I want to be the person that crushes the deep state.
Meet Russell Vogt, a former Trump White House official who co-wrote Project 2025, the right-wing blueprint for Trump's potential second term. In a new undercover video, Vogt brags about Project 2025 to men he thought were donors, but they were actually undercover journalists with the Center for Climate Reporting. We'll speak with one of those reporters about the secretive second phase and the radical policies set for rollout on day one. Then, the World Health Organization declared Mpox a global public health emergency.
It's clear that a coordinated international response is essential to stop these outbreaks and save lives. A public health emergency of international concern is the highest level of alarm under international health law.
As the first cases of Mpox outside the African continent are confirmed, we'll get an update from Nigerian journalist Zubaida Baba Ibrahim. And has the mystery of the Baltic Sea attack been solved? Nearly 2 years after the Nord Stream pipelines that carried Russian gas to Europe were bombed, Germany has a warrant out for the arrest of a Ukrainian national. We'll speak with German reporter Holger Starr, who broke the story. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In Doha, officials from Egypt, Qatar, and U.S. and Israel are meeting for the second day of negotiations for a Gaza ceasefire and hostage release agreement. The U.S. indicates some progress has been made as regional tensions remain high in the wake of the Israeli assassinations of Hamas and Hezbollah leaders in Iran and Lebanon. Israel's called this week's talks the last chance to make a deal. Hamas is not directly participating, but is being briefed by Qatari and Egyptian mediators. This comes as Israel continues its deadly war on Gaza, killing more children in an overnight attack on a building in the Jabalia refugee camp in the southern city of Khan Yunis. Some displaced Palestinians are sheltering at a cemetery.
I can see that every day the number of martyrs will increase. Yesterday there was a bloodbath in the Abu Shahma family and the Wayadah family in which 20 or 30 people died and people are still under the rubble. And as we sit in the cemetery, more and more martyrs are being brought in. One feels that they don't know whether they're dead or alive. I tell you, I hope to die. One hates living now. Unfortunately, there is no joy in living at all and one doesn't want to keep living.
In the occupied West Bank, Israeli settlers shot and killed at least one Palestinian, critically wounding another Thursday as a horde of armed settlers attacked a Palestinian village near the city of Qalqilya. Over 620 Palestinians have been killed by Israel in the occupied West Bank since October 7th, while the official death toll in Gaza topped 40,000 this week. The true toll is certain to be far higher. The Biden administration's announced patients will pay lower prices on 10 high-cost and common prescription drugs, including blood thinners and arthritis medication, the result of the first round of Medicare negotiations. The new costs range from 38% to 79% lower than the current list price, but won't go into effect until 2026. Medicare would have saved $6 billion if the new prices had already been in effect last year. On Thursday, President Biden, Vice President Kamala Harris touted the landmark deal as they appeared on stage in Maryland for their first joint event since Biden withdrew from the presidential race.
You may have heard about the MAGA Republican Project 2025 plan. They want to repeal Medicare's power to negotiate drug prices. Let Big Pharma back to charge them whatever they want. Let me tell you what our Project 2025 is. Beat the hell out of them.
We'll have more on Project 2025 after headlines. Meanwhile, Kamala Harris is expected to announce a plan to ban corporate price gouging on groceries as part of an economic policy speech later today. In more election news, the immigrant rights group Make the Road Action has announced its support for Kamala Harris in its first ever general election presidential endorsement. The group acknowledged the vice president has a checkered track record on immigration, including warning migrants do not come during a visit to Guatemala. The Biden administration's launched a major crackdown on asylum seekers at the border. But Make the Road Action says its members see Harris as someone they can work with and someone who has a similar lived experience as a daughter of immigrants. Arizona's Supreme Court ruled the state's Republican-controlled legislative council can use the phrase unborn human beings to refer to embryos and fetuses in an informational pamphlet for voters about a November ballot measure that seeks to enshrine abortion access in Arizona's constitution. The group Reproductive Freedom for All Arizona said, quote, this decision is beyond disgraceful, but no matter what type of dirty tricks they try to pull to slow down our momentum, we know Arizonans will show up and vote for their freedoms this November, they said. Doctors across India are poised to halt non-essential medical services Saturday in a nationwide 24-hour strike to protest the brutal rape and murder of a female medical trainee at a hospital in Kolkata. The body of the 31-year-old was discovered in a hospital seminar room where she had gone to rest after a lengthy shift. A hospital volunteer has since been arrested for the crime. Earlier today, medical workers launched solidarity protests in New Delhi.
Fellow colleague was brutally murdered, so we want justice for her, as well as the vandalizing of the properties of the hospital. We are against that. What we want is justice given to the fellow resident who was brutally murdered, and also central protection act for protection of the doctors, so that there is no further incident happening in future.
Protesters say India's government has failed to tackle sexual violence since the 2012 gang rape and murder of a young woman on a bus in Delhi sparked nationwide protests. In Thailand, the parliament has selected Pentongtarn Shinawatra as prime minister days after Thailand's constitutional court removed the former Thai leader over alleged ethics violations. At 37 years old, Pentongtarn is the youngest person to lead Thailand and the fourth member of the Shinawatra family selected as prime minister. Her father, billionaire tycoon Thaksin Shinawatra, spent 15 years in exile after his ouster in a military coup in 2006. He returned to Thailand last year. Last week, Thailand's constitutional court disbanded the Progressive Move Forward opposition party, saying it broke laws that bar public criticism of Thailand's royal family. The party had been critical of Thailand's powerful military as well as unelected and unaccountable institutions, including the Thai Senate and Constitutional Court. In Indonesia, outgoing President Joko Widodo held his first cabinet meeting in the country's soon-to-be new capital, Nusantara, this week. This comes ahead of Saturday's scaled-down Independence Day celebrations as construction of Nusantara on the island of Borneo continues to face a series of challenges. Widodo announced plans in 2019 to shift Indonesia's capital away from the heavily polluted and fast-sinking Jakarta. But indigenous communities say they're being kicked off their land and have suffered health and other problems from the construction of the $30 billion project. Ukraine says its troops are now in full control of the Russian town of Sudzha in the Kursk region and are setting up a military command. Sudzha is home to a metering station for Russian gas that's headed to Europe. Kyiv says it's taken some 80 Russian settlements near the country's shared border since Ukraine's unprecedented incursion into Russia began less than 2 weeks ago. A court in Greenland has extended the detention of American-Canadian environmental activist Paul Watson until September 5th, as Denmark considers his possible extradition to Japan, where he could face a maximum sentence of 15 years in prison. The 73-year-old anti-whaling activist is the founder of the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society and co-founded Greenpeace. He was arrested in Nuuk in July and is wanted in Japan for a 2010 direct action that sought to disrupt Japanese whalers. This is François Zimmeret, France's former ambassador to Denmark and one of Watson's lawyers.
Paul Watson's fight is not only for a world more respectful of nature, ecosystems, the environment, and biodiversity, but also one of principles.
And street vendors from across New York City rallied at Union Square to demand passage of the Street Vendor Reform Platform. Currently, thousands of small businesses are forced to operate in a shadow economy as they wait years to receive vending permits, all while facing fines of up to $1,000 and experiencing harassment and property confiscation. Democracy Now! Is at Thursday's rally.
My name is Cleotilde Juarez. I'm a street vendor in Queens, New York. I sell Mexican food. We're here to demand that the city council pass the reform of the street vending rules. We're tired of being criminalized. Every week, there's a new video on social media showing police going after people, their families. We're thousands of parents, many of them single mothers who don't have other sources of income for their families than working in the streets. As you can see, we're not criminals. We're working people who want to be part of the economy of this country. We are the foundation of New York's economy.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We begin today's show with a new undercover video that shows the co-author of Project 2025 bragging about his ties to Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump. Even as Trump is trying to distance himself from the right-wing blueprint for his potential second term. The video features Russell Vogt, who is director of the Trump White House Office of Management and Budget. It shows Vogt meeting in a five-star Washington, D.C. hotel with two men he thought were relatives of a wealthy conservative donor. But Vogt was actually talking to two undercover reporters with the Center for Climate Reporting, an independent British news outlet. They were secretly recording him. In a minute, one of those reporters will join us. But first, this is the video report accompanying their new investigation. It's called Undercover in Project 2025, the secretive second phase and the radical policies for rollout on day one.
Two undercover reporters posing as donors are about to meet one of the key architects of Project 2025, the radical plan for Trump's second term, in a hotel suite rigged with hidden cameras.
Nice to meet you.
Would you like coffee or something?
I'd love coffee, yeah.
Meet Russ Vogt.
Russell Vogt, the former director of the Office of Management and Budget.
He's been called the most dangerous MAGA diehard you've never heard of.
I am opposed to the Department of Education because I think it's the Department of Critical Race Theory.
The Russ Vogt were comrades in arms.
Formerly a cabinet member and chief lieutenant in the first Trump admin.
I want to thank Russ for doing an incredible job.
He now runs a group called Center for Renewing America.
An organization that I helped turn into the Death Star that is accomplishing all the debates that you are reading about. I think you have to rehabilitate Christian nationalism. You have the largest deportation in history. Block funding for Planned Parenthood. I want to be the person that crushes the deep state.
Vogt is one of the key authors of the blueprint for a second Trump administration.
Project 2025.
It's an ambitious 920-page blueprint.
Like eliminating the Department of Education.
The mass firings of civil servants.
Banning access to the abortion pill and further restricting abortion rights.
In recent weeks, the plans have become so controversial that Trump has been forced to distance himself.
They're sort of the opposite of the radical left, okay? You have the radical left and you have the radical right. And they come up with this, I don't know what the hell it is. It's Project 25.
Are you ready? I know nothing about Project 25. I haven't seen the document. I don't intend to really see the document.
But behind closed doors, Vogt tells us not to take Trump's disavowal seriously.
I expect you to hear 10 more times from the rally the president, you know, distancing himself from the left's boogeyman of Project 2025.
Yeah. And you're not worried about that?
I'm not worried about it.
Okay.
He's running against the brand. He is not running against any people.
Okay.
He is not running against any institutions. It's interesting. He's, in fact, not even opposing himself to a particular policy.
Yeah.
He's been at our organization. He's raised money for our organization. He's blessed it from the, you know, I remember walking into our last day in office and told him what I was going to do. So he's very supportive of what we do.
Our investigation into Project 2025 began 2 weeks before the meeting with Vogt. at a conference for religious nationalists in D.C.
The truth is, Christian nationalism is not a threat to American democracy. Christian nationalism founded American democracy.
Journalists from the Center for Climate Reporting have come posing as potential donors, looking to meet those involved in Project 2025. They're not hard to find. The Heritage Foundation, the group running the project, are here. So is Vote's think tank. We make the acquaintance of Mika Meadowcroft, an author on Project 2025 and a close aide to Vote. He tells us that Vote is running the secretive second phase of Project 2025.
And the second phase after the book came out was to break down like actual sort of policy packets and like executive orders and agenda items and things like that. That's been supervised largely.
The first phase of Project 2025 was a 922-page policy book published openly. The second phase is a comprehensive, concrete transition plan for each federal agency. These much more detailed plans are confidential.
Yeah.
Because obviously you want as little of it to be FOIA-able, if you're familiar with the FOIA process, as possible.
Freedom of Information Act, yeah.
The Freedom of Information Act allows the public to request government communications. But Meadowcroft reveals they plan to avoid these rules.
Yeah, the goal is, you know, familiarize all the transition team people with these plans,
yeah.
But you don't actually, like, send them to their work emails.
You know,
you could just give the handbooks to everyone, be like, this is the game plan for the admin.
Yeah.
If the press knows that that's what you're doing, that they're going to immediately just say, like, I request all of your emails from Heritage.
Okay.
You know, you workers.
I see.
So, we'll see.
Interesting.
Meadowcroft offers to set up a meeting with his boss, Russ Vogt.
You could, like, put me in touch with somebody who looks after his diary or whatever.
Yes, I could put you in touch with his schedule. Yeah.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
Great.
So, yeah, so just tell me when to do that.
We want to meet the man writing the game plan for Trump's second administration. Vogt believes that in his first term, Trump's agenda was frustrated by what he calls the deep state. So Vogt is planning a radical centralization of government power under the president, firing civil servants and ending the independence of agencies like the FBI and DOJ.
80% of my time is working on the plans of what's necessary to take control of these bureaucracies. And we are working doggedly on that, whether it's destroying their agency's notion of independence, they're independent from the president.
Vogt has also been preparing documents based on fringe legal theories, arguing the president has the power to use the military against protesters.
You know, George Floyd obviously was not about race. It was about destabilizing the Trump administration.
Right.
We put out, for instance, a 50-page paper designed for lawyers to know that the president has, you know, the ability both along the border and elsewhere to maintain law and order with the military, and that's something that you know, it's going to be important for him to remember and his lawyers to affirm. But we've given them the case for that.
With loyalists installed in key government agencies and armed with his playbook, Vogt believes a radical Christian nationalist agenda can be realized under a second Trump presidency. For example, on abortion.
So I think the president has actually come up with a strategy that works so long as you are giving people like me in the government the ability to block funding for Planned Parenthood, block funding for fetal tissue research. What I've told people is he had the most pro-life record ever. I've never seen him stand in the way of a pro-life initiative that actually was real, politically and with momentum.
And for Vogt, Trump's pick for vice president shows he's serious about pushing this ideological agenda when in power.
So I am very happy with the JD pick. I think it's transformative for sure.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, think of him as a member version of what we do.
Yeah.
So there's no think tank, no policy organization, no battle plan creator other than us for the worldview that I think Donald Trump has and that JD has.
But as public backlash against these plans builds, the Trump campaign has been scrambling to distance themselves from Project 2025's authors.
It's complete and utter bullshit.
For any reporter to write that this is the way it is. The president's made it clear these people do not speak for him. They do not speak for the campaign.
But Vogt tells us that behind the scenes, things are much friendlier. The Trump campaign recently picked him to write the Republicans' policy platform, making him essentially Project 2025's man on the inside.
I think the best example is like the campaign selected me to be the platform because of their views on my policy ideas, and they're not running from all of the negativity that I get from the press.
I see. So they haven't been spooked on you as a person, you don't think?
No, I mean, I don't think I'm going to be their transition pick because then they have all these kinds of stories.
Yeah.
But no, the relationship is great.
The head of the Trump transition team has not yet been appointed. But Vogt says that no matter who is named, he'll be able to hand over his Project 2025 battle plans directly.
If it's someone like Stephen Miller or Bob Lighthizer, then all the stuff gets plugged right in. If it's not, we'll figure it out.
Okay.
But all of it will be designed for a theory of the case that President, if a battle plan is out there that will do what he wants, there are the people like me that have his trust that we'll be able to get it to him in whatever position we're at. Or I could be at Center for New America, but the relationships will be there. The trust level will be there.
Project 2025's radical Phase 1 policy book turned into a PR disaster.
The director of Project 2025 has stepped down after facing criticism from both Democrats and the Trump campaign.
But Vogt's Phase 2 battle plans, top secret and handed directly to the transition team, remain unburdened by the brand.
And are you going to, like, rebrand that second phase at all?
For what I do?
Yeah.
The brand's not important.
And you're not worried that if it has Project 2025 on, he's going to go like...
No.
And you're not going to publish those?
No. No.
They go straight to...
Yeah, they're very, very close to home. Yeah.
Okay.
Brilliant. Brilliant. It's been an education.
Appreciate it. Thank you for time.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Any time.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
you can show us that out.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
That's the full video report that accompanies a major new investigation by the Center for Climate Reporting. It's called Undercover in Project 2025, The Secretive Second Phase and the Radical Policies Set for Rollout on Day One. For more, we're joined by Lawrence Carter, founder and director of the Center for Climate Reporting. He is joining us via audio only from the West Midlands in the UK because he's an undercover journalist and needs to remain anonymous for his work. Welcome to Democracy Now, Lawrence. If you can start off by talking about the significance of what you found and more on who Vogt is and their response.
Hi, Amy. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I think for us, the investigation really crystallized around the time that you started to see these disavowals from the Trump campaign from Project 2025. Previously, it kind of seemed like an unspoken kind of collaboration almost, where Trump went to the Heritage Foundation in the month that they launched Project 2025 and seemed to sort of give it his blessing. Obviously, then it became this huge political issue, very unpopular proposals in the big policy book that they produced. And recently, you've seen Trump's campaign managers really, as you saw in the film, really aggressively attacking Project 2025. But our kind of hypothesis was that that was kind of window dressing, and actually the relationships are there. And so we went undercover, and you know that was borne out by our investigation that there's this secretive second phase of Project 2025. Russ Vogt is overseeing a sort of pipeline of 350 detailed blueprints. That's executive orders, secretarial memos, all designed to ensure that this kind of radical agenda that the conservative movement has in the US can be implemented from day one. They want to make sure that the mistakes from the first Trump administration, as they see them, where not much got done, are avoided this time around, and they're really able to sort of upend the way in which the United States is governed. There are some like specifically shocking findings of the investigation in terms of the policy proposals that they have put forward, and these are kind of things that are in the book, but which, when you kind of speak about them in detail, become kind of all the more important from a kind of public interest perspective. And that's largely around the way in which he talked about the mass deportations that they want to carry out, and which is actually in the GOP platform, which the Trump campaign actually asked Mr. Ward to oversee. So the largest deportation in history, as he calls it, has kind of come from the conservative movement via Project 2025. It is also a key campaign promise of the Trump campaign. And he talked about the deportations, you know, these mass, like millions of people being deported, as a way in which to achieve a goal, which is to end multiculturalism in the United States. We asked him, you know, what's going to happen when there's protests against that, and he said, well, we'd be preparing kind of legal arguments for bringing in the military to quell protests by US citizens. So those are sort of a few of the findings that we thought were most important. But obviously overall, you've got this kind of quite radical agenda, and then you've got a man who's very much on the inside of Trump world, who is kind of very adept at getting things done and kind of has said he can get these plans directly into the hands of Donald Trump.
And why you, a British news organization, the Center for Climate Reporting, why you're so interested in Project 2025 and why you felt, your team felt it was essential to be undercover as you continue to, even you as head of the organization, not wanting to show your face?
We're a global organization. Like, we're registered in the UK, but we've got reporters in New York, Berlin, and London. And this really was part of a project that we'd started a few months ago, looking at populist movements around the world. And this investigation actually started by looking at the populist movements in Europe. There's just been some big European elections, and the populist parties in Europe have really kind of come to power and have kind of got much more influence in the European Union at the moment. And so our investigation actually started there. But these are international movements. There's, you know, there's huge transatlantic links. And so the leads that we were following from Europe actually led to Washington, D.C. and Project 2025. And it's at that point that it became, the project has become more focused on Project 2025. Now, in terms of the undercover aspect, you know, undercover's got a very long and respected history, actually, including in the U.S. You know, you can go back to the golden age of investigative journalism with Nellie Bly, who went undercover at a New York sanatorium to expose sort of brutal conditions there. More recently, Shane Bauer from Mother Jones went undercover at a max security prison to expose the conditions there. You know, even CNN has done undercover reporting in recent years on a brilliant report on people smuggling in Nigeria. Sometimes it's the only way to get the story, and that was the case here. You know, they're going to great lengths to keep this aspect of Project 2025 secret. You know, you could see in from Mika Medicroft's comments there that they don't want the American public to see what they're doing. That's why they're avoiding work emails, for example, in how they intend to distribute these plans. And so sometimes, you know, you could get a whistleblower maybe, but kind of. In this case, we felt that going undercover was the only way in which we were going to get this story. And so we weighed up the kind of the public interest arguments in favor of doing so with the kind of, you know, the reasonable expectation of privacy that an individual has. And in this case, we felt that the kind of there was an overwhelming public interest in going undercover and kind of revealing the way in which a kind of largely dark money funded network of organizations with kind of quite radical plans that are unpopular if you poll them are seeking to enact that agenda. And why is a climate organization doing all this? Well, you know, the fossil fuel industry is kind of obviously a major focus of investigative organizations like mine that work on climate. But if you look at actually the sort of key threats to much needed kind of action on climate change, the rise of the populist right around the world is just as important in our view. And so that's kind of was the genesis of this project, is to start kind of looking at those movements and the threat that they pose.
I want to get your response to the statement issued Thursday by Russell Vought's nonprofit, the Center for Renewing America, which downplayed your undercover video and said it didn't reveal anything new. Spokesperson Rachel Cawley said, quote, "It would have been easier just to do